I want to declare right now that this year is going to be the best year that we've ever had. Amen. And I'm talking about for the church. Yes. We're the body of Christ. Amen. And are we going to go through some things? Sure we are. Are we going to have trials and things? Absolutely. But I'm telling you, it's going to be an awesome year. God will do for you if you'll open your heart to Him and be sensitive to His voice every day of your life. The world's going to be in chaos, but we're going to thrive. We're not going to just survive. We're going to thrive. Amen. Amen. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. Hallelujah. You got to stay connected to the body. Can't go it alone. Don't you dare try to get out there and be alone. You stay connected to this body. If God has planted you here, then you be here. And all of those listening online, watching online, Brother Kevin, if you're watching, we're just declaring wholeness and healing and a miracle into your body right now in Jesus' name. It might be later you're watching, but I'm telling you, God is raising you up. He's been through it with this stuff. And so God is doing a work there and for everybody else. But we're glad y'all are here. Glad you made it today. God bless you. All right, let's get into the Word, okay? Hallelujah. God is good. I think my time is right. 11:26. Is that right? Okay, all right. It's not slow. All right. So if I go over, it's okay because Brandon went over, okay? He got into my time, and that's all right. That's all right. Amen. All right. How about Acts chapter 10? Acts chapter 10. We're in the book of Acts, I'm telling you. All right. Verse 34 through 35 for right this moment. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Aren't you glad of that? "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him for the sake of time." Then let's just skip down to verse 44. I want you to understand that through a vision and a dream that the Lord spoke to Peter, he said, "You need to go. Some men are going to come and knock on your door, and you're going to go with them to a person's house, Cornelius's house." And the Bible says Cornelius was a faithful man. He prayed, he gave alms, but he was a Gentile, of course. And here Peter is a Jew, and so Peter obeyed the Lord, but he took him some brothers with him, he got over there, they opened the house to Peter. Cornelius did, and there Brother Peter began to preach, and he preached. Oh my gosh. And here's what happened after he got through preaching there at Cornelius's house. Verse 44, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell." Would you say the Holy Ghost fell? "On all of them which" what? "Heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." Verse 44 again says this, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell." Everybody say fell. "The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." Now, my mama taught me that it was not right to point. You know, it's bad manners to point. But mama's not here today. So I want you to point to somebody, and I want you to tell them, ask them this question. Are you fired up? Or are you fizzled out? All right, that's the title of my message. Are you fired up or fizzled out? Oh, I hope I'm not talking to anybody that's fizzled out today. It might just be a ember there, but we still got something can burn. Amen? I want to draw your attention to the one word in this verse. It's the word fell. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. First of all, it tells me that what is happening here is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it tells me that the Holy Ghost is the initiator of this. Notice it doesn't say they jumped up and grabbed it, or they reached out and took hold of the Holy Ghost. But it says the Holy Ghost, Sister North, fell on them. Now this word fell used in this text means to fall upon, to rush or press on, and to come suddenly upon, to come forcibly on, to seize or take possession of. One definition even says to strike or to hit. So you better watch out today, because the Holy Ghost may just hit you real good. Some have already felt it. Some said, I had chill bumps on my arms today as they sang. What is it? The worship awesome today. Amen. In other words, the Holy Ghost came in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was a tangible, heavy manifestation of the power of God that fell in that room that day. They were visibly and physically affected. They felt it. And anyone present could see the effects of the Spirit upon them, Sister Jean. Now, there are other examples that I want to go through here for just a few minutes in the Bible of where the power of God fell. Let's just examine a few. I haven't given these scriptures to Jennifer, but you'll recognize them. You can turn one to them if you want, but we're going to go quick. In 1 Chronicles 21:26, we find where David made an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the Lord, and God answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offerings. And then again, over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1, we see David's son Solomon, who was now king, had made a great sacrifice to the Lord. And when he had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, and it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Listen, these were also undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable, visible, tangible manifestations of the power of God. How you like those big words there? I'm telling you. Then another example that really stands out is also found in the Old Testament, in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. This was when the prophet Elijah, we're going to camp out here a minute. This is when the prophet Elijah squared off with King Ahab and the false prophets of Baal upon the top of Mount Carmel. The false prophets and the true prophet of God by the name of Elijah came then to an agreement. They would both then build an altar and they would offer a sacrifice but put no natural fire under it. And they would call on their respective gods. And the God that answered by fire then would be recognized as the one true God. When you can, I encourage you to go back and read this whole story. It's so awesome. So the false prophets built their altar and they laid the sacrifice on the altar and called upon their god, Baal. And they did it from morning until noon with no answer. And Elijah began to mock them until they became so violent and they went into a frenzy. And the Bible says they began to jump on the altar and cut themselves with knives. The Bible says until the blood gushed out upon them. They continued from noon then until the evening sacrifice with no response from their God. And then Elijah took over. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He put the wood in order and he put the sacrifice on the wood. Then he had them do this. Watch this. He said, you go get me 12 barrels of water on the sacrifice. And then he prayed a short prayer. And the Bible says in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell. and consume the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in that trench. 12 barrels of water had been poured on it, and that fire licked it all up. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." The fact is this, what happened upon that mountain was so powerful and so undeniable that it turned a nation back to God. Oh, how we need such a manifestation of God's power in our own nation today. Can you say amen? They experienced a visible, tangible manifestation of the power of God. We could say that they had an encounter of the God kind. The fire of God fell on them that day. The power of God fell upon that mountain, upon that altar, and upon that sacrifice. How awesome a story. And then we look back over to Acts. Brandon started it today, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They wasn't in the Honda Accord. They wasn't all in the Honda, okay? They were in one accord. They were in unity. They were together in one place. And it says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house that were sitting, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see then where the fire of God fell from heaven on David's altar and the burnt offerings. And then the fire of God fell from heaven on Solomon, his son's offerings and the sacrifices. And we see where the fire of God fell from heaven on Mount Carmel for Elijah. And the Holy Ghost then fell on 120 spiritually hungry men and women on the day of Pentecost. And as we read in our beginning text, where the Holy Ghost and fire fell on the Gentiles there in Cornelius's house while Peter preached the word of God. Watch this now. In every case found in the Old and the New Testament, we find it was a visible, tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you then what is so troubling in the world today? There is a generation of Christians today who have never, ever had such a God encounter. They have never experienced a tangible, undeniable manifestation of the power of God. And what is so sad is that there are whole Pentecostal denominations that are not acknowledging the need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost anymore. This generation knows God only in theory. They know God religiously. They know God mentally. And they know God intellectually. And they know about God. But many have never had a Mount Carmel, Day of Pentecost, House of Cornelius encounter with the fire of God falling on them. They have never had a burning bush experience, if you please, like Moses had. They have never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost seizing them and taking possession of their very being. They have never experienced the supernatural fire of God burning in their hands and burning in their feet. To so many people in this generation today, the fire of God is just a concept. How sad is that? It's just an idea. It's just something that they read about or hear about on a Sunday morning that happened a long time ago. But I've come on an assignment this morning to tell you the fire of God is not just a concept, and it's not an idea, and it's not a theory, and it's not a philosophy to be studied. It's not the figment of an overactive imagination. It's not religious ramblings. The fire of God is the Holy Ghost, the might and the power of a holy God. He's the fire that set the bush ablaze in front of Moses in the desert. And it's the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel. It's the same fire then that fell on the day of Pentecost. And it's the same fire in Cornelius's house. I want to tell you, the fire of God is real. It's tangible. It's alive. And guess what? It's contagious. The fire of God is the power of Almighty God. And the power of God, listen now, the power of God is the only power that can heal. I thank the Lord for doctors. There's some good ones out there. And yes, doctors can cut out diseased parts. But I want to tell you, doctors cannot heal. Doctors can administer drugs for every disorder known to man, but even then, guess what? The body suffers from their harmful side effects. But the fire of God can burn. It can burn cancer out of your body. And it will never leave a trace or a scar and never leave any harmful side effects. The fire of God can burn drugs out of your system and take the desire away at the same time. Sister Diane can testify of that. The fire of God can restore missing body parts. The fire of God can deliver you from alcohol and nicotine and pornography and lust and perversion. And I want to tell you, it's prevalent, sadly, in the body of Christ. And if you will allow Him, the fire of God will burn up jealousy and pride and criticism and bitterness and unforgiveness and every bit of all fear. The fire of God will heal your broken heart, and it will restore joy and peace to your soul. The fire of God will heal your marriage. The fire of God will heal your mind. Our prayer ought to be, God, do it again. Let the fire fall. Can you just pray that? God, do it again. Let the fire fall. Hallelujah. 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 That same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, that same fire that fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius's house, do it again, Lord. Rush in on us. Seize us. Woo! Take possession of us. Let's not just be satisfied another Sunday this morning just to read about it or just to sing about it or hear Sister Norris just sing about it. But why can't we desire to experience it for ourselves? Jesus told His disciples right before He ascended into heaven, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And He told them then to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. The power is not a theory. The power is not a concept. This power is the same power that caused the sun and moon to stand still in Joshua's day. It's the same power then that divided the Red Sea so the children of Israel could leave Egypt. It's the same power that caused water to flow out of a rock like a river to quench the thirst of over 3 million people in the wilderness. It's the same power that separated the rivers of the Jordan for Joshua and all of those that were still alive to cross over into the land of Canaan. It's the same power that made 3 Hebrew children fireproof. He made them fireproof. And it gave Daniel's lions the lockjaw. The same fire that shook Paul and Silas's prison off its foundations. And it's the same power that was upon Jesus's life. That opened to blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, made the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. This is the same power then that raised Jesus himself from the grave. And this morning it's the same fire, that same anointing, the same power of God that wants to send upon your life right now. He's ready. He wants to light upon your life. We read in Acts 10 where the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word while Peter was preaching. I'm telling you, you get prepared. The Holy Ghost is going to fall on you today. Can I tell you something? He wants to fall on every person that is hearing this word this morning. Let me ask you, can you see that posting on Facebook this afternoon? That says the fire of God fell this morning while Pastor Hall was preaching the word at New Life in Alvarado. And here's the second part of that posting. And that's why there's no one standing in this picture. They are all laid out on the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost, being healed and being filled and being delivered. The word that Peter spoke that day made a way for the fire, Sister Jean. And yes, God is wanting to fall on each of our lives this very day with a tangible, undeniable, irrefutable, indisputable manifestation of the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, there's nothing to be afraid of. In Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what's going to happen? For they shall be filled. Amen. Matthew 7 and 7, Jesus spoke these words, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. The Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah in 33:3 when he said, call unto me and I will answer you. And watch this. I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Can I tell you this morning, hunger and thirst is a magnet. It's a magnet. Hunger and thirst will draw the anointing. Hunger and thirst will open the door for the manifestation of the power of God. You got to want it. You got to desire it. Am I talking to anybody who is hungry for the presence and power of God in your life? Yes, I'm so thankful for His presence that we feel each time we gather together in this house. But I want to see the manifestation of His power that will come into our lives. To see people saved, Sister North. Brandon, to see people healed and delivered and set free from every bondage. Am I talking to anyone who wants the reality of that tangible manifestation of the anointing and the power of God? Am I talking to anyone who is not satisfied with religion and tradition? Not satisfied any longer with concepts or theories or philosophies? Am I talking to anyone who wants the power of the of Pentecost fresh and anew in your life? The great apostle of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, said this, every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire. Would you look at someone and ask them, are you a live wire? We got a house full of them. Hallelujah. They start at the back and you can find them all the way to the front. Brother John and Tina's a live wire. Brother North is a live wire. Jennifer, she's really a live wire, I guarantee you. Hallelujah. Brother Ted, you're a live wire, brother. Bob, you're a live wire. Garen, you're a live wire. Oh, Sister Cherry is a live wire. Hallelujah. Faye is a live wire. Tina, you're a live wire. And I better stop because I'm going to take my time up. I don't want to. I still got some more here. I believe there are some hungry and thirsty people listening to me right now online who refuse to be satisfied or pacified with anything less than a personal encounter with the true fire of God. And I just believe somebody is going to catch on the fire this morning. Somebody watching and hearing again through Facebook or YouTube is going to get enveloped by the power of God this morning. And if you allow Him, the power of God will seize your life. You can talk to Sister Lutine and she'll tell you when she first experienced the power of God in her life. And I want to tell you that fire's never gone out. If it's done anything, it's come ablaze. It's like you put lighter fluid on her and she just blazes. You can't talk to her very long until tongues of fire just come out at you there. Listen, He'll take hold of you and He'll set you ablaze in His Spirit. Our God is a consuming fire. And there is a consuming anointing in this house right now as I speak. And just as the fire of God fell on Mount Carmel that day and consumed everything about that sacrifice, it got the wood, it got the stones, it got the dirt, and it got the water in the trench. So is the consuming fire of God falling on someone. By faith, I'm saying right now, He's doing a work in your body and in your life. I feel like something is happening, Sister North, right now in this place. An anointing, the fire of God falling right now over you. Hallelujah. Yes, the God we serve still answers by fire. Wherever there is an altar, wherever there is a sacrifice, wherever there is prevailing prayer, the fire will come down. Wherever there are hungry hearts, and I know we have hungry hearts that desire more of God. Wherever there is desperation for Him, He's going to come. The God who answers by fire is right here, right now, this morning. And I want to tell you, He's here to save you. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you. He's here to restore relationships. He's here to heal your broken heart. He's here to revive you, resurrect you, put His fire back in you that's dwindled. He's here to give you a fresh anointing to set your heart and your life on fire. Come on, all over the house, would you just lift your hands? And let's just ask God to fall upon us. Ask Him to send the fire over you right now. Hallelujah. Fall on us, God. Fall on your fire upon us this morning. Fall on our hearts and our lives. Fall on our marriages. Fall on our ministries. Fall on our visions. Fall on our dreams. Fall on our attitudes. Fall on our families. Fall on our finances. Oh, yes. Fall on our minds. Fall on our physical bodies. Fire of God, fall on us. Consume us, oh Lord. Burn up dead religion. Burn up carnality. Burn up dead traditions. Burn up everything that is not of You. And set us on fire. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to this. The fire of the Holy Ghost will melt the hardest heart. Have you ever found yourself describing another person's character like, man, they have a hard heart? I have. Listen, it will melt that heart of stone. It'll melt that heart of that prodigal son or daughter gone astray. And it will turn into a heart after God, Brandon. Like the heat of a volcano on molten lava. If we'll allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, our heart then will begin to flow with the guiding hand of Almighty God to follow the paths that He has made for each and every one of us. If we'll ask Him to, the fire of God will bring to the surface those impurities in our soul for the purpose then of dealing with them. Understand, if you ask Him to, Lord, what is it? What are those things that still hold me back and hold me down? What is it that I need to deal with? He'll bring it to your mind to deal with, not to bring condemnation. That's what the devil does. He's not going to bring up the history of your past and all the baggage of your past that's in a sea of forgetfulness when you repented. Hallelujah. He forgave you on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can deal with it then. He'll bring it up so you can deal with it. Hallelujah. He only reminds us of our future. He will never remind you of your past. Hallelujah. Little by little, the fire of the Holy Ghost burns away those things that beset us, Brother Tony. Amen. How many know it's those little foxes that spoil the vine? Well, Pastor, it's not a big thing. I just do it. It's not a big thing. It hadn't got a hold of me. You just watch out. Let God deal with that. So through the Holy Spirit's refining process, we'll find ourselves then being brought closer to a holy and a sanctified, Christ-centered life. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't want anything in my heart blocking or holding back what God has destined for me to do, Sister Jean, in the last days. We haven't seen anything yet of what He's ready to do through us and for us in this house. And this morning, if you will begin to allow Him to work once again, the fire of the Holy Ghost will light your fire after God's own heart, and it'll kindle a love for Jesus that you've never knew was possible. And just as the fires of passion in a marriage relationship should never grow common or be taken for granted, the fire of the Holy Ghost will keep your love and your passion for Jesus. He's going to keep it, Sister North, fresh and anew, and it's going to grow. The fire of the Holy Ghost marks the very presence of God in our life. How many wants the mark of God in your life? And I'm telling you, if you got the mark of God in your life, you don't have to worry about the mark of the Antichrist. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Even a jealous God. The all-consuming fire of the Holy Ghost will consume your life. It'll immerse you into the service for the Lord. I want to be totally immersed. I want to stay under His power. I don't want my head to come up and breathe anything else. I want to stay immersed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a jealous God, not like men are jealous, but His greatest desire is to see each and every one of us enter into our reward in the kingdom of heaven. And listen, He will not tolerate anything in our lives that will keep us from that ultimate goal. If you're determined, you don't have to worry. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. We don't seek revenge, do we? God is our avenger. You pray for those that have done you wrong and talked about you and lied on you, spit on you. You let it go. You turn them over to an almighty God. And I guarantee you, He knows just how to deal with them. And if they don't get their hearts right and change, listen, he'll deal with it. The fire of the Holy Spirit will get you moving. Did you know you can't be full of the Holy Ghost and be a seat warmer? Oh my gosh. any more than you can stand barefoot on hot coals and not jump around and try to get away from them. Anybody ever stayed standing on hot coals before? Hallelujah. 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 I was going to say Logan and this guy over here, Adam. I could just see them trying to stand and run across hot coals. In their early age, you know, their age now, they're matured down. But you ought to hear the stories. Amen, amen. I want to tell you, these two young men love God. Amen. And they hear from God. Amen. Amen. And I know their desire is to do everything He's called them to do. The prophet Jeremiah said it this way in chapter 20, verse 9. His word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I think we heard that in a song this morning. And I believe that anyone who is full of the Holy Ghost on fire will have to be on the move, always looking for someone else to minister to, doing something to further the kingdom of God, to let people know about the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. Listen, you won't be able to help yourself because that's what is in you. And guess what? What's in you has to come out, Sister Jean. You will have to find somebody to tell your story to, Sister Diane. Remember what Jesus' final words were before being received into heaven after His resurrection. He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name," would you say that? "In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." We need the baptism in the Holy Ghost more than ever before. Hallelujah. And we know this world is not getting any better. And if we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost and fire within us, listen, we won't be able to stand in the last days. I want to be like Him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's begin then to prepare our hearts this morning. And let's ask for the Holy Ghost and fire to be made manifest within us. Musicians, would you come? Wreath, would you come? Guys, would you come and let's receive our communion this morning. And we're going to do something different. After you get your cup, I would like for you to come down here in the front. We're not worried about COVID this morning. You already know, y'all are smart enough to know if you've got symptoms of something, we stay home and stay away. But God can touch you, and He's going to do a work this morning. Just come on down. Just come right to the front here after you get your cup. Just come and stand. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, guys. Just come on down. Just stand right down here in the front. Hallelujah. I'm not going to touch you. I'm not going to do a thing. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do His work. If you want it, He'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Come on down. Get as close as you can. Get as close as you can. Hallelujah. Just come right up here to this basket. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down, everybody. Mary, make your way down to the front row if you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody, come on down. Don't be afraid. What did the Word say? The Holy Spirit lit on Jesus. It was like a dove. Hallelujah. I just want us to take communion together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.